Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning from Zachary United Methodist Church, and I hope you're all doing well on this Sunday after Easter. Now, I have to admit, the Sunday after Easter is always a little bit of a letdown for me. Part of that, I think, is perhaps because of being exhausted after all the preparations for Holy Week, and of course the anticipation for the greatest Sunday of the year, Easter. It's always a little hard to maintain that level of enthusiasm on the Sunday after Easter, isn't it? And of course, on top of that, we're still having to do worship online, isolated and separated from each other. And the longer these social distancing days go on, it's easy for us to become discouraged. And I know that many of you are feeling that way now. In fact, there have been many articles that have been written recently about how one of the biggest obstacles that we have today in the midst of this pandemic is discouragement. And once you get discouraged, it's hard to keep going, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to find the will to keep going. But you know, we have to remember that we're not the first to face such times of discouragement. I mean, we just celebrated the good news of Easter. But you have to remember that Easter was born out of a time of utter discouragement and despair. For when Jesus was arrested and he was placed in that tomb after being crucified, the disciples were utterly discouraged and filled with great despair, but probably none of them was filled with more despair than the apostle Peter, you know, the one who denied Jesus three times, the one who deserted him and fled for his life when the sign of trouble came. Peter is a good example of what it feels like to be utterly discouraged. Yet, of course, we know that Peter overcame his discouragement in life, and he was filled with boldness that helped him to overcome his circumstances. And so today, I want us to spend some time looking at how Peter overcame his time of discouragement as a way of helping us to deal with our own times of discouragement. And in order to do that, I think we first have to recognize what is one of the main causes of discouragement. And that is that most of the discouragement that we experience in life comes as a result of unmet expectations. I mean, when we don't meet expectations that we have for ourselves, or when life doesn't meet our expectations, or when others don't meet our expectations, or when God doesn't meet our expectations, then we become discouraged. I mean, we want to believe that we live in this cause and effect kind of world where if we would just do things a certain way, then we have the assurance they're always going to end up being a certain way. If we would just always do A, then we're always going to get B, right? Well, the problem with that, as we have learned recently, is that life simply doesn't work that way. This is why many parents get discouraged, because they spend their lives doing all they can and doing their best to bring their children up in the way that they expect them to come, turn out. And yet, their children don't turn out the way they expect them to. Or, for years, you follow the advice of your financial planner, and you do everything right in preparation for that future that you're hoping to achieve. And yet, it's all wiped out with an unexpected pandemic, or a sudden health issue, and life simply doesn't turn out the way you expect. We've all been there, and Peter experienced the same thing. When Jesus died, Peter experienced great discouragement. And part of that discouragement was because when Jesus died, it destroyed Peter's expectation of how he thought Jesus was going to establish his earthly kingdom. And also, Peter was discouraged because he failed to meet the expectations he had for himself. And remember how Peter said to Jesus, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." And Jesus responded to Peter by saying, "Peter, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And yet Peter persisted, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Yet we know that he did, just as Jesus said he would. But you know, Peter had put a tremendous amount of faith in himself. Too much, in fact. And when he failed to meet his own expectations of himself, he became very disappointed. This is often the cause of discouragement in life, unmet or failed expectations. However, if you were to examine the expectations that you have for yourself in life and for life in general, often we find that our expectations are unrealistic. And, you know, Jesus tried to tell Peter that his expectations of himself were unrealistic, but Peter didn't want to listen. When you consider your own feelings of discouragement, how are they connected to feelings of unmet or failed expectations? Like Peter, were those expectations truly unrealistic? Well, secondly, when it comes to dealing with discouragement in life, I think it's important to recognize the characteristics of a discouraged person. You know, when we become discouraged, we all tend to follow a certain predictable pattern of behavior in our attempts to overcome our discouragement. First of all, like Peter, we often compromise. In the 18th chapter of John, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, we're told that Peter draws a sword and he strikes the high priest's servant and he chops off his ear. And in doing so, Peter compromised the teachings of Jesus. And he did that in order to achieve his own expectations of Jesus. I mean, he was willing to do whatever it took in order to make sure that Jesus wasn't harmed or hurt in any way so that Jesus could fulfill his expectations of him. But in doing so, everything that Jesus had taught about nonviolence and about loving your enemy was compromised, and it was disregarded. Peter lowered his standards, but he didn't lower his expectations. And we tend to do the same thing. When we become discouraged, we cling on to our unrealistic expectations, and we're willing to do anything to make them happen, even if it means lowering our standards in life to make them so. Another characteristic of discouragement is that discouragement tempts us to quit. Discouragement can lead to despair, feelings that there's just no hope, all is hopelessness, and there's no reason to continue going on, so why not just quit? This is what Peter experienced after he denied knowing Jesus. Luke says, "Peter went out and he wept bitterly." In the midst of this pandemic, the number of people who have committed suicide is staggering and is truly tragic. But you know, that's what discouragement and despair can do to people. It can leave you feeling as if there's no hope. There's no reason for going on. So you might as well quit. Peter experienced that. I mean, I've experienced that in situations of my own life. And I'm sure you have too. Another characteristic of discouragement is that it often causes us to withdraw. You know, John's Gospel records how after Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples were gathered together, but they were gathered behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. And that's what happens when people become overwhelmed with a sense of discouragement. They want to stay home, not because they have to, but because they choose to. They become uninvolved. They withdraw into a shell of self-pity. I can remember going to the home of one of our members here whose husband has tragically been killed. And after knocking on the doors for a while, the wife comes to the door and she invites me in. And the lights were all turned off and the curtains were drawn. And she said, I'm sorry that it's so dark. I just can't bring myself to turn on the lights. I can imagine something similar was going on behind those locked doors of the upper room with the disciples. And notice that as long as the disciples were hiding behind those locked doors, they were not able to accomplish the task that Jesus had given to them. And the same is true for us. When we withdraw due to our discouragement in life, we become just completely unproductive. And we, too, are unable to accomplish the task that Jesus gives to us to accomplish. And clearly, that's not how Jesus wants us to live life. Another characteristic of discouragement is that it lures us to escape. The 12-step term used here is to medicate. That is, we look for something, for anything, to alleviate the pain of our discouragement and our despair. For Peter, that was to go fishing. It was to go back to his work or to something that he enjoyed that made him feel good. How do you try to escape from the pain of your discouragement in life? Now, for some people, that is to just pour themselves into their work. For others, it is to pursue a hobby. For others, it is to overeat. For some, it is to watch too much TV or to spend too much time with a computer or their phone. For others, it is to go shopping. For some, it is to try to make themselves numb to the pain through alcohol or something else. There are many ways that we try to escape our pain of discouragement in life. The problem is, after we come back from our escape, the problem is still there. And usually, it's much worse than before. And none of these ways that we typically try to deal with our discouragement through compromising, through quitting, through withdrawing or escaping, none of them work. None of them solve the problem. We only end up feeling cynical, skeptical, bitter, and like Peter, at rock bottom. So what should we do when we encounter those moments of discouragement in our lives? Well, let's examine how Peter overcame his time of discouragement. And one of the first things that this text shows us as being a cure for discouragement is that we need to remember the empty tomb. In our text, when we read that John and Peter heard that the tomb was empty, they ran to the tomb. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb and he saw the linen wrappings lying there. You know, when Peter saw that the tomb was empty, and he saw evidence that Jesus might have been resurrected, suddenly there was a glimmer of hope to hang on to. Luke's gospel tells us that after examining the empty tomb, Peter went back to his house and he wondered about these things. And John's gospel says at this point, they did not understand the scripture about how he was to be risen from the dead. So right now things seem probably to be too good to be true. But there was a spark of hope to hang on to. And the empty tomb is still that spark of hope for us as well. For it reminds us that God has the power to overcome sin and death and anything else that we're facing in this life. As the great theologian Karl Barth said, the resurrection of Christ teaches us that our enemies, sin, the curse, and death are destroyed. They may still behave as though the game were not decided, but ultimately, they can cause no more mischief. We still have to reckon with them, but we need fear them no longer. The empty tomb reminds us that no situation in life is hopeless. After encountering the empty tomb, Peter began to win his battle against discouragement because he realized that there is always hope with Jesus Christ. I don't know what the source of your discouragement in life may be that you're battling with, but whatever it is, try to remember the empty tomb. For it is the proof that Jesus has the power over sin and over death or anything else that you may be facing in your life. And because of the empty tomb, we can expect the unexpected. As we read in John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Peter and several other of the disciples had decided to go back to fishing. They were still nursing their discouragement. But early that morning, something very unexpected happened. A man standing on the shore shouted out to them, "Have you caught any fish?" They answered, "No." And the stranger then says, "If you throw your nets on the other side of the boat, you'll catch some fish." And when they did, they couldn't even haul in their nets. They were so filled with fish. It was then that John tells Peter, "It is the Lord." And that's all that Peter needed to hear. Immediately, he jumped out of the boat and he swam to the shore. Peter learned an important principle that day, that with Jesus, expect the unexpected. Because you never know where or how Jesus is going to show up and how he's going to do something unexpected in your life. You may be on your way to deliver flowers to the tomb, or you may be out fishing, or you may be at a Zoom meeting or a Skype meeting with your friends. You never know when Jesus is going to show up and he's going to bless you in an unexpected way. You may be like the man who for 38 years laid beside the pool of Bethesda and he became convinced that it was useless to hope for a miracle. You may be like the man who sat next to the temple gate begging for money when what he truly needed and wanted was to be healed. You may be like Lazarus, who died thinking that his best friend had forsaken him in his hour of death. Or you may be like Martha, who thought that God had waited too long to show up, and now her brother is dead. Or you may be like the woman at the well, who in her search for love had been led through a series of failed relationships. You may be like Peter, who, because of one weak moment in life, he denied, he betrayed, and he fled away and left and forsook his closest friend, one he loved more than anybody else. All of these individuals have one thing in common. They all encountered the depth of discouragement in their life, and yet they each had an unexpected moment encountering the power of God. Some of you are very discouraged today. I mean, this pandemic and the uncertainty and devastation that this causes, it's enough to make anyone feel discouraged. Maybe it's your job situation that has you discouraged. Maybe it's your family situation or your marriage or your financial situation. Maybe you're asking yourself today, you know, what's the use? Why should I keep going on? Why don't I just quit? Well, I've got a good reason for you. Because the tomb is empty. Because he is alive and he is at work in our world today. And this means that we can expect the unexpected. For you never know when Jesus is going to show up, when he's going to bless us in an unexpected way in life. So maybe you can't control the so-called cause and effect of life. Maybe life has not met your expectations or turned out the way that you hoped it would. Maybe the uncertainty of this pandemic and the effects of it has you feeling very discouraged. Well, here's what I think we learned today. We can still remain faithful in spite of how we feel discouraged. You can still refuse to quit, and you can refuse to fall into those traps of discouragement. You can recognize that things that are going on today are not going to be like this forever. And the empty tomb gives us a reason to have hope. There's always a reason to have hope with Jesus. So hang in there and focus on the hope that the empty tomb offers us. And be open to the blessings, to the unexpected blessings that Jesus is trying to give it to you every day of your life. For those who have eyes to see, ears to hear, and faith in Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Oh God, we're living in discouraging and frightening times, and it's easy to be overcome with fear and with despair. We thank you for being a God who understands our circumstances and who promises never to forsake us, but to always be present with us, especially in times such as these. Renew our faith today, O Lord, that we might be able to hold on to the hope of the empty tomb, and the evidence of your power over anything that we're facing in this world today. O Lord, give us eyes to see how you at work in our world, bringing healing and offering compassion and mercy and doing the unexpected. I pray for your blessings, your protection upon every person and family listening this morning. In the midst of these uncertain and challenging days, may we know your peace. These things I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.